In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Dear saints, have you ever been entrusted with something that is not yours? That's the idea of stewardship. Someone who takes care of something or manages something, goods or property that is not theirs. Or maybe you've been given authority over someone else's home. Say, like a neighbor leaves town and wants you to watch their house or their pet while they're gone. Or maybe in some big situations, you've been asked to hold the power of attorney for someone. And in all these cases, when time comes to make some decision, you make the decision based upon the will of the owner, not your own will. You don't act according to what you want to do. You make your decision based upon what the owner would want you to do. I was watching a TV show recently in which the CEO of a large company was just about to outsource most of the jobs of his company overseas. Now, his daughter was completely opposed to this. But just before the CEO signed the final paperwork to make this decision, he fell into a coma. And so the decision was, is the daughter who had power of attorney going to sign the jobs over overseas or do what she wanted to do? And she signed the paperwork. And the doctor asked, why did you do that? And she said, because that is what he would have wanted. Now, we say this all the time when someone close to us passes away. We say, he would have wanted this, or grandpa would have wanted that. And we're making decisions for someone in someone else's stead. We ask, what would they want? And here's the point. In order for you to make a decision on behalf of someone else, you have to know that person well. You can only say that this is what they would have wanted if you know the person, what they're like, how they usually act, what they love, what they hate. What are they into? You can't say this is what they would have wanted if you don't even know who the person is. And I think this is the key to understanding today's parable. You know this parable, the parable of talents. There's a man who is going on a journey and entrusts three of his servants with his money. To the first, he gives 5 talents. To the second, he gives 2. And to the third, he gives 1. And when he returns, the first one has 10 talents. And the master says, well done, good and faithful servant. And then he goes to the second, who had 2 talents, and he now has 4. And he says the same, well done, good and faithful servant. But then he comes to the third servant, the one who only received 1 talent. And he still only has 1 talent. So he cast that worthless servant into outer darkness where there's weeping and gnashing of teeth. Now, this probably isn't the sermon that you think it is. You probably think that at this point in the sermon, I tell you that the Lord has given you certain gifts, and the Lord wants you to use them for the kingdom. And so you should give generously to the church so that you'd be like the ones who the master says, well done, good and faithful servant. But I'm not convinced that's what this text is really all about. Now, we can say that it is good to support the work of the church, but it's wrong to give to the church if you do it because you think God will look with more favor upon you for it. Or it's wrong to give to the church if you think that in doing so, he will give you a certain reward as kind of a you scratch my back, I'll scratch your back kind of a deal. That's not why we give and support the church. God looks with favor upon you, not because you give money, but because of his son Jesus, who died on your behalf and for no other reason. God rewards you because of Christ's perfect life. Has covered over all of your sins. Christ's perfection has been credited to you. Your support and donation to the church is not more worthy of the life of Christ. because of Jesus, when you come to church, you receive the forgiveness of all of your sins by His holy word and sacraments. And if you would like to continue receiving these gifts in this place, then it's good to support the church. And if you would like others to hear about this forgiveness, then it is good to support the work in that way as well, so that it can be continue to be preached and that people can hear the good news. But that's not what this parable is really all about. And here's why. When you get to heaven, is God going to say to you, "You are my good and faithful servant because you always gave your offering to the church"? Or perhaps we could put it the other way. Does God cast you out to outer darkness where there's weeping and gnashing of teeth if you haven't given back to the Lord? If that were true, all of us are in big trouble. Because the reality is, everything that we have belongs to the Lord, and all of us have failed to remember the Lord in the way that we spend our time, our money, and our talents. The key to this parable is found in the third servant when he says this: "Master, I knew you to be a hard man, reaping where you did not sow." Now remember, if you've been entrusted with someone else's goods, you make decisions about that based upon what you know of them. And what this man knew of his master was that he was not a good and gracious master. He didn't see this master as one who was rich in mercy and abounding in steadfast love. No, he thought that his master was a man who was hard-hearted, a man who was greedy, a man who was tight for money. So this man made the decision about his money based upon what he knew of the master. And out of fear, because he was scared of this hard master, knowing how angry he would be if he lost his money, he took it and buried it in the ground so nothing could happen to it. I've always said, you are what you worship. If you worship the true God who is gracious and merciful and loving and forgiving, then it makes sense that you are gracious and merciful, loving and forgiving. But if you worship a God who has no place for forgiveness, no place for mistakes, no place for sinners, then you too will have no forgiveness or for mistakes or sin. If you worship money, then it would make sense that you are motivated by greed and power. If you worship pleasure, then you will only do those things that make you feel good. You are what you worship. And this man had a master who he thought was hard and greedy, and he acted in such a way. But the others, they knew the master to be generous, giving in abundance. So they acted in such a way. So if Jesus is the master and we are his servants, what is it that Jesus gives us that gets us into the kingdom? It is the gift of faith. It is forgiveness. That his blood and his mercy and his righteousness, that is what the master gives us. And if we think God to be a hard man, then we throw this gift away. We might bury it in the ground. But if we know this master to be a master of grace, then we rejoice in the gift that he's given us. Each and every day in the gifts that he's given us, we share it with others and we support the Lord's work. So you are what you worship. If someone were to look at your life, what would they conclude that you worship? Would they look at your actions and your conduct and conclude that you worship a merciful and loving God? Or would they conclude that the God that you worship is an angry and a wrathful God? Would they conclude that you worship money or power or pleasure? Ask yourself, what is the most important thing in my life? Whatever that is your God. We learn in the parable for today that the talent that God gives us is the gift of faith, his forgiveness, his mercy, and his blood. And we could take this and say, I don't care what the Bible says. I'm going to do whatever I want to do and bury it in the ground. Or, like the other servants, we see God's love for us and it grows in us. And we see that as we repent of our sins, that we confess that we fail to fear, love, and trust in God above all things. That when we confess that, then God's gift of faith finds a home in our hearts and encompasses our lives. So then on the last day, when you stand before God, he turns to you and says, well done, my good and faithful servant. And he thinks of you this way only because of his son, Jesus. God the Father said that of his son. Remember at Jesus' baptism, he said, this is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased. And again at the Mount of Transfiguration, this is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased. But the real reason that God can say of you, well done, good and faithful servant, is because he said of Jesus first, or that Jesus said first, my God, why have you forsaken me? You see, God is not pleased with you because he looks at you and sees all your good works. In fact, God looks at you and he doesn't even see one of your sins. God looks at you and is well pleased with you because of Jesus. That you get the credit of all that Christ has done for you. And so that is why, through faith, God looks at you and says, well done, good and faithful servant. What's so amazing about this parable for today is that the master says, you have been faithful over little, so I set you over much. And a talent, by the way, is equal to 20 years' wages. So take whatever it is that you make in a year and times that by 20, and then times that by 5. That is what the Lord says is faithful with little. But really, Jesus is kind of lowballing it here. Because whatever that number is, 1 million, 2 million, or more, that pales in comparison to the gift of faith you have received from God for the sake of Jesus. Now just think about it. If someone was willing to give you a dollar amount for the gift of faith, for the forgiveness of sins, for the guarantee of eternal life, how much would it take for you to sell forgiveness? To give away this gift of faith that you've been given? 1 million? 100 million? If someone offered you $100 trillion, would you give away this gift of faith that you've been given? No. The faith you have is worth more than all the money in the entire world. And yet Jesus says in this parable, that is just peanuts compared to what you will have in heaven. For in heaven, you don't just have the treasures by faith, you have all these treasures by sight. We will eternally enjoy the treasure stored up for us in heaven by the work of Jesus. And that will far surpass any riches that we might have in this life, no matter what we have. And so, dear saints, rejoice. For we have one who has stood in our place. We are baptized into his name, and now that God looks at you because of him, he says, Well done, good and faithful servant. Enter into the joy of the Master. Grant this, Lord, unto us all. Amen. And may the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, keep your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.